The foot is on Triple M.
It's time.
Here we go.
Time for the Saturday run.
Get
ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
Get your facts right.
Lighten up, take your tile.
Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Saturday afternoon, just strap yourself in because I tell you what, the next couple of hours, exploding time. Bernard Vince has just wandered in. He's got mischief written all over him. I don't know what he's been doing all week, actually, Bernard. But it's nice to see you, Bern.
Yeah, it's good to be here, boys. Excited about today. A bit cold outside. I woke up and freezing out there, Bill.
Oh, well, it is winter, mate. And it rained and it was icy all night. So
yeah, well, that's no surprise to Bill. It's like that all year in Geelong. What are you doing, Fat?
Oh, Fat's on fire. We've got B1 and B2 have been at it again, Jim. Got a special, two special investigations. Well, so stand
this
by.
This is the third week in a row. And let me just say this.
Yes.
This is the third time lucky. If you don't get it right, she's yibbity yibbity.
I'll tell you what, we're building. And once you put it out there, people come to you, don't they, Damien?
Well,
welcome to the rub.
One of the two tip-offs we've got this week, Bill, has actually come from one of our audience
Josh,
listeners.
Josh, thank you, Josh.
Bill, of course, not winter yet either, by the way. If you wanted to know, you just said it is winter.
G'day, Duck. How are you?
Oh, it couldn't be better, Bill.
Good on you, mate.
Oh, no. And now,
couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better from the waist up.
It's on the audio thing there.
Come on, Bill. No, I'm fantastic, Bill.
You were never going to be a politician, were you?
No.
All right.
Duck, I've never seen a man take more days off their employment.
What's he done
there?
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Where were you last night?
I was sitting on the couch watching the game, and as you can hear, a little bit of a head cold.
Oh, no, can't hear that.
Which, by the way, I tell you what, walking around the street, just have a little bit of... It's a very good experiment. Just walk around, have a sniffle, sneeze every now and then, and watch everyone look at you like you've broken every law in the land, and they just, like you're a criminal.
Oh, mate, I was walking a dog this morning. I'm babysitting a dog, and this lady goes, and her dog come up. Tell you what, if you've got a cute puppy, you walk the streets, let me tell you.
And this lady. You need every bit of help you can get.
You need a baby, a puppy.
Exactly, whatever it is.
And this lady goes, just so you know, my dog's vaccinated.
Oh, so yours wasn't.
Yeah, so, and I said, all right, okay. I've got no idea what she is, but what about that? My dog's vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, what she was saying, Bill, is. She hopes your dog was vaccinated.
That's what she was saying.
No, I know. Yeah. Remember we asked Duck how he was one day, Jim?
I'm good from the waist down.
The waist down.
Meaning, what that means, Bill, put it into perspective. It means I've had shoulder reconstructions, but from the waist down, the knees and that are not too bad, is why I said that.
Speaking of last night's coverage on Channel 7, yes. Jim, as you know, we do the Friday huddle, and we always have the Channel 7 feed coming through the box.
Of course you do.
The reason
like
I raise that, though,
the, country,
the reason I raise that, though, Jim, is it was obvious to us in the Friday huddle box last night that you, who was a long-time advocate of never going near,
Jim.
As you would say, the green, was in the centre of Marvel Stadium, Jim.
Extraordinary, Jim.
In between the players.
Extraordinary Friday night numbers, by the way.
Yeah. Jim,
let me just get
you
that.
You weren't out on the grass. You had a go at me last week for being in the race.
Were you on the
green,
Jim?
The grass.
Unbelievable uplift.
Jim.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yes or no?
Just say yes, I was on the
meeting last night.
Yes or no?
I get to the meeting, the head of 7 Footy, the producer on Friday night, we're all there. So anyway, halfway through the rundown, they give it the, all right, and then we cross to the Geelong race, Bernard.
Yes.
And BT, you and Jay, we get down to you and JB to do your walk through the, I said, I beg your pardon? They said, no, you and Brian are doing the walk out on the ground through the Geelong warm-up. Oh. I said, I was never told about that.
Oh.
They go, well, you're doing it because Duck's not on the boat. I said, shock me. Shock me, blow me up.
Old
Duck's
sniffles.
Having another night off.
Another night. The only night I've had off is because of COVID.
You evaporated out of the box before the outbreak even occurred.
Before you took your microphone off. You're through Lara and you had your microphone still on.
This COVID hasn't been good to me, Bill. They'd sent it home one night, and then just because you've got a little bit of a head cold, they say, don't come in.
So why have you come in here?
Why?
I'm sitting in the
I'll tell you why, because the open air and
been tested?
It can get worse. Yes, I've been tested. I'm a negative.
So Jim's out in the grass.
So I had
to fill in for the greatest ever and walk around following Brian.
So you're out on the grass.
Of course I am.
Bit of me, me.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. G'day, Jim. Linguini.
He was loving it, Bill. Bill, it was funny because, you know, "Hello, gorgeous." Yeah. Right? We're sitting on the couch,
yes,
watching the footy. Hello, watching, gorgeous. Because I thought I'd tune in and just see
what this falls
a little flat on it. Yeah. And then the first thing, and he's standing out with Brian in between all the Cats players and players running around, and Jane, first thing he says, "I'm not meant to be out here."
Yeah. I'm only here because Doug hasn't turned up.
You had a go at me.
Why explain it?
Yeah. No.
I was forced to do it. Unlike you, who couldn't get there quick enough, I was forced to do it.
It's about the 10th time you've now done it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it was. Extraordinarily good.
Oh, I'll tell you who did like it a bit much. Brian.
What do you mean? That's his segment.
Well, I know, but no roaming Brian. So he was out there, and, mate, was he loving it? Yeah. He was right up there. Yeah. Hey, look at me. Brian's back.
Now, why have I got special investigators? This is the last chance, you two.
We've got two stories to deliver today, Bill.
Yep.
And one of them, it might be the greatest football story never told. And I'm happy to state that before we tell it.
I'm leaving that one to you. But it has come to our attention. B1 and B2. And this is not a big investigation.
You don't ever play it down, Bill.
Just get it right, Bill. We've gone interstate and we've gone rural.
Yes.
Country, this one. We're one of our offices set up over in Adelaide.
Yes.
We got Patrick to have a look at this one over there. But it's York Peninsula Way, Jim.
Oh, that's my way.
You're not from there, Damien, no, Duck.
Oh, why?
You've probably got a kid there. But York Peninsula Way, okay?
Hang on.
And it's come to our attention that a family over that way, Damo.
Yes.
Are not happy, or the player, I'm not sure.
Ooh. Yeah.
Are not happy with the non-recognition of that said player who played 100 games, 129 with Adelaide.
You may as well name the town.
And 100 with Melbourne at Sainsbury. A best and fairest in each, and has got nothing at his hometown. And we're talking about Bernie Vince.
We are. And this was raised at the Stansbury Progress Association meeting.
Give me a spell.
It was.
It's an official organisation, Jim.
Is that official?
That's an official organisation.
Thank you.
Right. Big in alignment with the YPFL, which is the York Peninsula Football League. Yes. So there's two bodies, Jim, the Stansbury Progress Association and the York Peninsula.
Is your special investigator?
Where are you going with this?
Someone broke into the oval, right? Broke into the oval.
How do you break into an oval?
The gate's
broke
open.
Into the oval of the local footy ground and someone has defaced or vandalised the scoreboard.
It's because there was a push at council level, Bill, to name the oval after the greatest player for Stansbury ever.
Which may have been
Bernie Vince.
Yes.
Well, you'd imagine it would be. Who else have they had?
Anyone else come out of there?
No.
So hence what's happened, don't we?
There is now the Bernie Vince Oval.
Yes.
Well, so there should be.
But have a look how shit it is. Jim, have a look at that.
Have a look at you.
Hang on. That's a poor angle.
Mate, that's a poor angle.
Not good for... Oh, boy.
It's a sticker on the scoreboard, Bernie.
It's a sticker.
I was going to say, this isn't good for radio, but just picture the worst scoreboard you could ever...
Some little writing which says Bernie Vince scoreboard.
All right, that's the Some Bernie Vince
that,
oval.
That's Bill.
We're going to put it up on all our social media.
But Jim, this was the push of one councillor, and apparently I've had it told to me, raised it at a meeting about four or 5 years ago. It got no traction, but Bernie and family went back to the team. What have you done with that?
Timmy Vince.
A day later, a sticker's on the scoreboard saying it's the Bernie Vince oval.
Yes, that is a concern. At least there's a bit of green in the photo because normally it's the oval's a bit dead. But
that would blow down if they did have, from all reports, a
couple of meetings about this, and in the second one, not a lot turned up. So he just thought, well, I'm going to chuck it up. And
our man, Josh,
that needs redoing.
Our man, Josh Davis, said, I noticed the oval has now been named the Bernie Vince Oval. This was news to many residents who have lived in the town for 20 years or so.
Why wouldn't you call it the Bernie Vince Oval, Bill?
It's a poor sign, but it's justified that it's the Bernie Vince Oval. Yeah. Who else's buddy come from Stansbury?
Yeah, who we got?
Tim Vince, my Uncle Chris Vince.
it's all throw $10 in and get a proper score.
Yeah, we can do that.
The other one
goes back to 2009, and this actually is a legitimately never been told football story, Bern.
Ooh.
It involves someone in this box and distantly another person in this box. 2009, okay. North Melbourne was moving out of the Dean Laidley coaching era. It was ultimately to appoint Brad Scott, as we know. But in the process of going through all of that, there were power brokers at the North Melbourne Football Club, Bill. This is part of our investigation.
Hang on.
Power brokers. Keep going.
Power brokers. the biggest power brokers the club's ever had. People who were instrumental to the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Patched together arguably the greatest coaching lineup of all time and put it to the two gentlemen I'm about to raise the names of. They being, what? Bill.
Yes, who?
Malcolm Blight.
Malcolm Blight was
asked to coach.
Who have you asked hang on, about Duck. This? I know you're talking to Blighty the other week.
Yeah. Let him go.
Let me go. Because
it's an
I'm about
investigation,
to get to you
yeah.
So Malcolm Blight was approached and was on the hook to become coach of North Melbourne in 2008. And this is the bit, Jim, which is explosive here. Given you had an association with the club at the time.
I was the president of the club.
Yes.
I'm just looking at the book.
A board member of the club at the time put this to Malcolm Blight, and part of this plan had a succession plan as part of it, Bill.
Yes.
With Wayne Carey to take over as coach from Malcolm Blight after 2 years
now, Duck,
of Malcolm Blight being coach. Now, Duck, I don't care if you deny it. Yeah, I know it's fact.
So, Jim's the president.
Yep.
At the time, Jim. Do you know anything about this?
No. Where did this come from?
Oh, you don't know anything about it.
Where have you got this from?
I have got this on, to use a phrase going around in media these days, impeccable sources.
So who were the power brokers that put this together?
I have been told it was Ron Joseph who went to Malcolm Blight to offer him, not just offer him, but give him a package, basically.
Yes.
Took him out, wine and dined him. Now, Duck,
come on.
I know that you won't want to talk about this, but I also know that you were basically on the hook as well as part of this succession plan with Malcolm Blight.
You know what? The fact that you've found out, B&B, JB, have most of their investigations have been pretty ordinary, let's be honest.
Very.
But the fact that you can dig this up, because this, nobody knows about this at all, other than the people that actually spoke on the phone.
So it's true.
I can say that I did receive phone calls from Ron Joseph and spoke to Blighty as well. Mm. About
spoke to Blighty?
Spoke to Blighty. We're going to go and play some golf. I was just more interested in the golf.
Yes. And what was the deal that you were told?
2 years.
The deal that I was, I don't remember it, to be honest. I don't remember a lot about it other than that they wanted me to come back to the club and be involved as a coach under Blighty.
And then to take over.
And then to take over from Blighty.
You didn't think to share this with the president at the time?
The president didn't know, did he?
You didn't pick up the phone and say, by the way, JB?
I didn't think to share it with anyone. Because although I did go out, I've got to admit, I went out. I thought about it, told no one, didn't even tell my brother or anyone. So just basically sort of thought, oh, okay, but walking through the mall there at Broadbeach, and wasn't in the greatest
space
then as well, Bill, but went through Broadbeach. I thought I'd buy myself a Norm Smith hat. And an overcoat and just
imagine Duck coaching, by the way.
It would have been all right, I reckon.
Imagine
Blight and Carey coaching
Jim,
Melbourne.
You're president of the club.
Ron Joseph.
You were president, Jim.
Ron Joseph, by the way, was part of the committee formed to appoint the new coach.
Yeah.
With Donald McDonald, Trevor O'Hoy, Eugene Rocker. So he's just gone rogue on them and decided to put his own ticket together.
I heard it was on, Jim. Do you know anything about
what we're talking about?
Give me a spill.
Oh, he's a liar.
What was assembled as a committee to appoint Brad Scott, which was a very good appointment.
Yes, it was.
Very good appointment.
Yeah.
Might have got a couple of premierships for him.
Listen to Duck.
A couple more. I delivered it.
But to have the great man Malcolm Blight back, that would have been magnificent.
With Duck beneath him.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Bill? I do remember it, and it's actually 100% true. I remember the phone calls.
Yep.
Not a lot of phone calls, Bill, but a few in regards to it. And I was pretty firm, and I said, look, no, absolutely
not. How could you
not
have those two in a room? Blight and Duck.
Imagine the conversation.
I kicked eight. I kicked nine.
Did you kick 100, Duck?
No, I did. Wow, imagine in the box.
Did you win a Brownlow, Duck? No, I didn't.
They're 10 goals down, they're arguing who was a better player.
I would imagine if they got Dermot in as a consultant.
Dermot,
just get me a new team.
Well, they offered Dermot before that.
Hey, by the way, Dermot got offered the. Well, they were looking at Dermot before Dennis Pagan.
Yeah, that's true.
They were looking, and then they
that
thought
that was Ron Joseph too. Wasn't it?
That's when Dermot used to ride around on the Harley, and they thought well, probably not the greatest. The coach riding on the Harley.
He'd probably turn up to training an hour late every training session, wouldn't he?
Was there anything in writing, Duck?
Hey?
Was anything in writing?
Contract?
No writing. No.
I think Blighty might have got something in writing.
Any money?
I actually don't know.
Any money?
I might have taken a little bit then. No, well,
just Scott Pendlebury, enough from you lot. Duck.
Well done, Damien.
Yep. Scott Pendlebury is going to join us next. John Longmire we're going to speak to as well. Burns got enough for the week. The quiz only if we got time.
Oh, yes.
Highly unlikely to have time.
Jim, if it doesn't come on today, I'm walking.
For Hard Yakka, new breed of actually, Aussie legend. This is the Triple M Saturday Run for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
We need to very quickly get to the SCG because this man's been good enough to give us a couple of his minutes. We're actually watching him on the screen live with the phone to his ear. Scott Pendlebury, of course, the captain of Collingwood Pendles.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Now, listen, lots of people are in tipping comps everywhere, and a lot of people would have thought, you know, I don't know about the Pies today. Beware of the Magpies on the road, because your record of getting on a plane and winning is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's been good in my time anyway at the football club. We also got the advantage, which every Victorian club lets us know, that we don't travel too often. So, but it's good to get away as a group. We've got the whole side up here because we've got the VFL game after ours today as well, so it's good to get away as a whole club essentially. So good night last night and ready to go today.
Scotty, Billy here, mate, and you're playing forward now, so that's how they've solved that forward line problem. Darcy Moore goes back and you go forward.
I did a bit forward last week. I've played forward probably in the back half of games so far this year as well, but a bit more time up forward. Which I've enjoyed, so a different role for me, and it's good to be part of that forward group. And yeah, it was a little bit better last week, and we were able to put a score on the board, which helps.
Hey, Pendles, Bucks is certainly throwing the team around, as Billy said, you forward, obviously Darcy Moore forward. He's now gone down back. Does he consult you on any of those things? Not necessarily on where he wants to play yourself, but other team members?
Yeah, we definitely have a discussion about things like that. And just, he's always getting players' inputs about how we feel, what we feel, because there's obviously, he sits up in the box and he can see things, but he wants to know if that's what we're feeling. And I suppose with Darcy going forward, it was just a opportunity to have a look at his impact down there. And it wasn't so much about just, Darcy as a forward line. Darcy in the forward line. It was more having three bigger guys in the forward line would one get off the chain. And I think that worked, but we just missed him too much behind the footy. I suppose against that Gold Coast and Essendon, even where our forward line was functioning okay, but there was just that presence in our back line which Darcy can feel, and he was really good last week when he went back.
Scott, there's a lot of change filtering its way through the Collingwood Footy Club. Today you've got a sixth first gamer in Tom Wilson. What is it you can tell us in advance about him?
Yeah, so Tommy's obviously come from a basketball background. He's a little bit older. I think he's 22 or 23 now, and yeah, a guy that I'm actually, pretty close with, travelled similar paths as juniors with our basketball. But yeah, now it comes across. He's, he'll play predominantly back today and wing, and really smart, sees the game really well, good decision maker. It's probably just been, for Tommy, he's getting used to playing footy again. His first year was the back end of 19, then he come into a COVID situation last year. So, his first 2 years playing footy which is his first 2 years in probably 10 years playing footy, it's, his development since he's been at the club's great. He's he's ready to go today. It's exciting to see how it go, and looking forward to playing with him.
Pendle, a lot of spotlight on Jordan DeGoey and his personal performance. How's he been around the footy club and his attitude? He got off the chain obviously last week.
Yeah, he's been great. I suppose when we're not performing well, the spotlight comes on Brody or Jordy, and I think last week we put him back into a role that he's really comfortable with, and that's front of the ball. Is we know he can do the midfield, the centre bounce work, but I think he just looks more comfortable in the forward line. And we made a focus of last week working as a forward group and trying to isolate our best matchup. And I think last week was the most we've ever gone to Jordy in a game, and he's so damaging one on one that it's hard. You want him in the midfield, but you want him forward. And I think for us and the balance of our side is we've got probably enough guys who can play through the midfield, but have Jordy forward, and not many of our midfielders or none of them really can go and do what he does forward of the ball.
Hey, Pendles, just for the kids out there, what do you eat before a big game?
Rice, banana, this, honey and salt?
This, I was going to say, is this a stitch-up? Yes, I do. Rice, as you said, white rice, banana, honey, and a bit of salt.
Wow.
Perfect combination. Try it, though. Try it before you knock it.
No, I haven't knocked it, but it doesn't look great, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it tastes better than a pie.
Or two pies.
Hey, Pendles, before we let you go, talk us through, for people that love footy but haven't played at your level, what happens from now on? Do you go into immediately? I saw you all walking around the ground, acclimatising yourself. Talk us through the next 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, so we've obviously a bit of time now, so I'm out on the ground now. You've got a bit of your own time. Then we'll go in. We'll have a meeting with Bucks, final sort of prep stuff, and then from there we're essentially into a wipe. We'll all come out here, have a run around, get ready to go. Back inside, official warm-up inside with our fitness guy, and then anything else you need to do for your prep, and then we're back out here. So we sort of ramp up pretty late. We save all the Bucks' stuff. Once it's Bucks' meeting, we know it's time to switch on and get ready for the game.
Go and do it, mate. We know that you're giving us a couple of minutes of your time. We really appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Have a good call.
Go on, your mate.
He's got Pendlebury out in the middle of the SCG, taking on the Swans. We're going to do that justice a little bit later on. But very quickly on last night, because we got John Longmire not far away. Not a great game of footy. I mean, it was tight and seesawing duck and all the rest of it, but not one that I don't reckon is going into the vault for replay later.
Tell you what, JB, you see it very differently from the Cats.
I
agree. No, I agree. It wasn't a great game of footy. And to be honest, St Kilda dominated the first half.
They did.
They should have been further in front, as you said, set shots. In the end, that was the difference in the game. And I know Geelong missed a couple in the second half, but if you put scoreboard pressure, we talk about it all the time.
Mm. Six in a row they missed.
Nail those, all of a sudden Geelong, they become fumbly. We see good teams start to panic when that scoreboard pressure goes on.
I heard Brett Ratton complaining. What, they had 80-odd tackles and only got three free kicks out of it.
And that was obvious. And that's the other thing.
But I didn't mind that duck. The umpires let it go. There was only 25 free kicks for the game.
I'll tell you what the problem is, and you're right. So it was for both teams. There was that many holding the ball decisions last night not paid were paid previously.
That's right.
Previous weeks. But for the rest of the competition, and this has always been the way, Bernie, you sit down. That's why everyone sits down. Well, one, because it's a marquee game. But the Friday night game, or in a few weeks, a Thursday night game, you look at the theme that the umpires are going with, and you say, you know what? They're not going to pay holding the ball this weekend. That's the theme that they – and let's hope it goes through.
They vehemently deny that, the AFL.
They do. But why? Because I'm telling you now, the last night it was so obvious to the rest of them. And we're talking, eight rounds?
Yep.
8 rounds, the adjudication was different to what it was last night.
Well, even the focus last night, Jim, on the length of kick, too. That's the first time they've really paid strict attention to that. And again, if that's the new normal,
that's what it should be.
I agree.
That's one part that they got that right.
Yep.
But there were really obvious – you know, prior opportunity, holding the footy, ball getting knocked out in the tackle or dropped, and they just never paid it.
They should come out and say that, I reckon, leading into the Friday night game, because we sit around and go, well, hang on, you didn't pay that last week. You haven't paid it all year. And then all of a sudden they're changing. I think they should come out and say what the umpires, a bit like a footy club, they come out and say, we're working on this. This week the umpires come out and say, look, we're going to be tight on the 15-metre kick, and the holding the ball.
Did you talk about it in club land, about the might change during the week?
Well, sometimes the umpires would send a memo out to the clubs, and I know it was mentioned a few times, but obviously, like Duck said, you'd sit around and watch the Friday night game. It was obvious to the coaches, what they were going to focus on.
The coaches would say to you, Bill, they would say straight away, they would say, listen, did you see the game last night? Well, clearly there's a theme around that.
Yep.
So these short kicks, make sure they're required distance. Don't try to be too cute.
Do you expect Brett Ratton to have any form of sanction over what he said?
I don't. I listened to it, and I then listened to it through the point of view, Jim, from an AFL perspective. I think he was cleverly worded how he was with it. He made his point about there's no point tackling. I'd be staggered if they came down. There's been a reluctance now to fine people. Paddy Dangerfield spoke about his own tribunal case before he went to the tribunal. Other people have done that this year as well. I think there's a relaxing on that, and I think it's good that there is, because it allows people like Brett Ratton. Do we want to hear what he said? But seeing you raise that right now, because he did have a complaint about the 83 tackles that his team laid for just the three free kicks in that space.
To think you have 85 tackles, I thought we out-tackled them, and you get three free kicks for the day. 85. Don't know if it's worth tackling. just set up behind the ball and flood back. And yeah, I'm not sure. That's, I didn't think we got our reward for our effort around the, you know, the tackling component of the game. Be interesting to have a look at how those balls got distributed too. That'd be
That's the contentious part, Jim. I'd be surprised if anyone felt that that was worthy of, a, of any form of even a pick up the phone and see what happened, because he's allowed to make a point. And I think the bigger take out of that was, well, what is happening with those disposals?
Exactly. Yeah. But how many, Geelong had 64 tackles. How many free kicks did they get? Do we know?
I don't know. But I've never been one to think that each club should get the same amount of free kicks.
No,
and just because someone tackles someone, that doesn't mean it's a free kick.
They were consistent all night with it. I mean, the one thing that they got right was the consistency with it.
That's
but I just think it was the wrong adjudication of it.
As we always say, Jim, 25 free kicks is a lot better than 40 or 45.
I totally agree with that. Where that vision of Brett Ratten came from is, I reckon they missed three in a row. Down the
it
left
was a passage,
way.
Yeah.
There was one holding the ball, missed. Yeah. Second
Dropped.
One missed.
Yeah.
Third one missed, and that's why he threw his arms up. He's like, please, give us something.
Something.
Look, the only thing with holding the ball for me, Byrne, is when a player gets tackled and then just releases the ball and just drops to the ground and they say, play on. I'm like, how is that effectively disposing of the ball?
Yeah, well, it's
while you're being tackled, you surely can't just drop it.
No, it's not. And the AFL are trying to bring in rules and trying to get the game flowing and moving. And I feel like the holding the ball rule is a way of doing that. Pay a free kick and get the ball moving. Then we don't have to bring in all these other rules and change the rules each year. Just pay holding the ball when they don't dispose
of
the ball.
Clarkson floated that this time last year, didn't he? Yeah, very strongly said, until we start paying him, the game is going to be clogged up.
And then what happened the very next week after he rose at Jim? Yeah, it got more confusing.
Exactly.
The coach of the Sydney Swans, of course, premiership coach, premiership player. Aren't many that can say that, John Longmire. And he joins us now. Horse, welcome.
G'day, gents.
You're back at home. You've got a big club to play against. This is what footy's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Saturday afternoon game, and hopefully get a big crowd here. And, really looking forward to it.
Actually, great ground. Really, guys. Okay. Up there a couple of weeks ago, Horse, I saw you out in the ground very happy when they just got over the Cats. Don't know how you won that. But anyway, but I tell you what, the crowd's great. There was 29,000 there. They were very loud. But I love it. You still got to look at the scoreboard and it says, high tackle, doesn't it, Horse?
Well, Billy, we're all about still the education process. It's always ongoing up here, Bill. Never assume, one of my favourite sayings, and you can't assume that everyone knows it.
Hey, Horse, talking about education, you've obviously blooded some young kids this year. They're doing really well, but the likes of Blakey, who spent time in the VFL, so making them earn their spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, we have a couple of things to work on. You go back, you work on, you come back in. So it's like any player. It's just, if you need a couple of things on your game, you need to hone up and work on, you do that. And so, that's whether it's Nick or with anyone else, that's what we like to do.
And we know that Buddy's a superstar of the competition, but do you just, even Buddy sometimes needs a little bit of motivation. Do you go over to him and say, Kane Corns reckons you're finished?
That'd probably be the last thing I'd do. With all due respect to anyone's opinion, I don't think we need to worry about that. A couple of weeks ago, he kicked five, and everyone's saying he can keep continuing. And then, he's a bit quiet last week and everyone jumps on his back. So it's just, that's just the way it goes. It's very much a week-to-week basis, isn't it?
Hey, John, when you got Tom Hickey in, did you realise that he was going to have the impact that he has clearly had to this point of this season?
We thought he'd really help us, Damo. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we got him, is we thought he'd help us. He's definitely been better than what we thought. He's been very good on ball for us. He's terrific at ground level, which has been really important. His clearance work in particular has been very good. He only missed that 1 week with the PCL, so to come back and play after that's a great effort. So, he's been a really, really strong contributor for us.
Hey, 58 entries last week just for the 8 goals. Is that something you worked on during the week, the conversion inside 50?
Yeah, look, it's something we're going to continue to work on. I mean, the reality is Isaac and Paps and Lance and the few guys down there, they haven't done a whole heap of training together. So we need a bit of synergy. You can't replace that except for flying hours, both on the training track and playing together. I think they've only done one or two training sessions together. So we need to do a bit of work there. There's no doubt about that. We've changed our structure a little bit up front. Obviously, with Reedy and Isaac missing at different times, we needed to get a bit of synergy going in that front half as well.
Hey, Horse, just talking to Duck's point about young players coming in and out of your side. Now in the VFL, the Swans, what difference has that made to sending young blokes back and getting them playing a standard of footy that then when they come back into your side, they're ready to go?
We've only played just a couple of games at the moment, James. We've only played a couple of games. Last week's game was cancelled due to play in Melbourne. So we haven't had a really good indicator of it just yet. We were happy with our standard of competition last time. The real challenge for us is getting those players that top that squad up and making sure that we've got the quality to compete. But we played Geelong here a couple of weeks ago. It was a ripping game. Went down for the last couple of minutes. So, that was a really good intense game for our young boys to play. So that was a real plus.
Logan McDonald, what's going on with him? I know out at the moment, how far away? And you must be really pleased with the early signs you've seen from him.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at Braden Campbell and now Errol Goulden, they've had a couple of stress-related injuries. And so, obviously a young key forward, we backed him off a few weeks ago. And so hopefully that sort of freshens him up to go again. I mean, he played the first four or five games straight. We've backed him off, reduced his load, so hopefully he's able to go. You know, unfortunately, a couple of the other younger boys have had some lower leg stress-related injuries, and obviously we didn't want that to happen to a young key forward.
Horse, mid-season draft coming up. Are you a fan of it, and where are you placed? Have you got any spots or anyone in particular you're looking at?
Yeah, we've got a spot, Duck, and so we'll sit back and have a look at it. Kinnear obviously is in charge of that. We've sort of haven't locked into one particular area. It's Kinnear's going to come up and go through a number of different players and see what's available. Look, it's certainly, I think it's a useful addition to a club's list build. It's very difficult to do it just with one draft at the end of the year. So, it's been good so far. Noble, for instance, has been been an absolute sensation for Collingwood. So, that's been probably be the highlight of it.
Talking to John Longmire, full forward for the team.
No, we know that, but he knows that.
50
know
years that. For New South Wales.
We all know that.
We know that, Bill.
For 50 years, Jim.
Yeah, well done, Bill.
Last night, Horse, do you sit there and watch the game last night? Not many free kicks paid, not many for tackles holding the ball. And then do you think, that's going to change today and that's how they're going to umpire today?
Oh, you do take a notice of it. Take notice of it, Bill. You take notice of it because there are trends that emerge, and if they've corrected during the week, there might be an overcorrection on a Friday. And so it's natural. They're like players, and umpires are like players. They work in different areas of the game. So we looked at that last night. Who knows what happens today? But like anyone, there can be an overcorrection before you get the balance right.
Mm. Hey, John, we revealed earlier today on Triple M Footy that in 2009, North Melbourne Power Brokers, and this is official, so you can take this as fact, approached Malcolm Blight to coach and to have Wayne Carey as his understudy to then take over in 2 years' time after 2009. It's a factual story. Duck's confirmed. But how would that have gone, John, given both those men very, very well?
It would have been an interesting match. I reckon Blighty would have been centre-half forward and Duck would have been full forward. The forward line structure would have been interesting, wouldn't it? At two stars of the
would
game.
Would have been very attacking.
Oh, imagine the commentary in the coach's box and they're talking about who's the better player.
Hey, no defence, Bill. No defence. Just goals.
Don't worry about that.
Duck, while we're on... Horse, while we're on Duck. And the button, Duck, everyone knows that no one wants to get into the better player bit because that's all subjective and career, different eras. But I want you to ask this. Who's got the more significant swagger? Was it Butt or Duck? Whose shoulders rolled more?
Well, Duck, Lance's swagger's only on the ground.
Yes!
Does that answer it, Jack?
That answers it. Well done.
Come on, Horse. I was a quiet country boy.
Oh, hey, Horse, good luck today.
Well done.
You're a great watch at the moment, the Swans. Yeah. Good luck.
Well, thanks, boys. See you.
Thanks, mate. There it is, confirmed. You're a show off.
Fantastic answer.
What about you to ask the premiership coach John Longmire, greatest New South Wales player of all time,
yes,
and full forward of all time, and you forget the question.
But it was a very good question.
You retrieved it. When you opened your mouth, you weren't sure what was going to come out, though, were you?
Did you know, Doug, that speaking of special investigations, during the week on the rush hour, we had a good look at the fact that they chose a while back the New South Wales team of forever.
Yep.
Not included in the 22, but it gets worse. Yes. They had a squad of 40 to pick the 22 from.
Surely.
You're wanting in that.
Nah, that's a mistake.
There's a bloke called Purse Bushby in it.
Nah, that's a mistake.
Who the
Purse Bushby?
What are you recording?
Who
is Purse Bushby?
Can I just say, Bill?
That's his name.
That's a mistake.
Oh, exactly.
Should have been in the squad.
Yeah.
You're 41st, Bill.
I thought he said something funny. Have a look at his eyes.
Oh, double cover. He's hit my arm again.
I tell you what, I'm in the Allies team of the century.
Oh, God.
First up, you're in that.
Only played once.
I never played.
Bill.
Oh, didn't you?
You're not even in the squad.
Jim, we've gone through this.
Does that hurt?
There's a typo.
I'm not aware of this.
Typo.
A typo.
Typo, and I didn't get in. And that's okay. We move on. Jeez, we move
some,
on.
There was some.
Who want to get in that shift?
Half Brumbies on the bench. Like when half Brumbies in the squad.
Those things get political though, don't they, Bill?
Oh, they named
Duck was sent half.
They named the skipper.
Where was Duck? Of course.
No. Yeah, Purse Bushby.
Has to be a nickname, Purse. Has to be a nickname.
He's filthied up too, Bill. He's not happy about it at all.
Enough
for the week to come.
No, speaking
to come. And Sydney and Collingwood, of course, at the SCG. Hard Yakka, born in 1930.
Try hard.
Legendary status is in our heritage. Work hard, play hard. Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
Best team.
And McDonald's player. And Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Bernard's had his first look at it, and he cannot believe that not only is Fat Brownless not even mentioned in the top 22, but then you move on to the squad, and Jeff Kingston, Don Ross,
Purse Bushby,
Bushby,
he didn't win a few
Stan
premierships
Lloyd.
Apparently.
Oh, so no mention of W. Brownless, which I think is the funniest
who picked
thing
this
ever.
Side?
No idea, but anyway, we love that.
Fascinating that there's a squad.
I know.
For that.
Yeah.
You're not big on
squad. Not a fan of the squad.
No. Neither am I.
Oh, Chrissy Lethbridge.
Yeah. I'm not. Brucey McGregor.
Not Gordon Strang.
Strang.
Centre half back.
Yep.
What do you got, Bernie?
So
let's move on. We don't have to talk about that stupid team.
Ross McGregor.
Rossy Hinshaw was in it, isn't he?
Back pocket. Oh, Ross Hinshaw.
Very good player, Ross Hinshaw.
Very good.
Samuel Davies.
And clearly a better player than Bill.
Move on. Come on. Move on.
Time to do this thing, please. But Leroy.
I told you, homeboy.
That's what you call a nuff-nuff.
Yeah, that's how we living and you know.
Like a nuff-nuff.
Break it down.
Very, following this has been
very sharp. That,
why have
that
you got the Nuff Nuff doing the stinger for you?
It just makes sense.
You're on fire today. You are on fire. You've never been funnier.
Oh, yeah. Another hit. That's what happens when you have a night off.
He's fresh.
Look at him.
Hey, boys, the big
and
news.
And happy with himself.
He double cobra'd himself before. He's right up and about himself, which we've seen before. Hey, the big news of the week was the nightclub scuffle with the Richmond players, and we saw Dimmer stick up for him. Yep. Gill said, just walk away. Mm. And we needed a solution, and it was just bizarre that it came from this man, old Tom Brown.
Ooh. Maybe the AFL should have 6 or 7 nightclubs where the players tend to go to, and they have like some additional security.
You're suggesting the AFL buys nightclubs?
No, just like basically go into a deal with 6 or 7 ones. You can name them, the Emerson, places like that, where you can get the security in there and maybe even get the players in their own area.
What do you think of that, Doug?
Well, you know what? Give him credit. I reckon that'd be really, really busy. There'd be just no AFL players.
Maybe we shouldn't be taking.
No one would turn up. No players would go. They'd get a lot of other people there, but you wouldn't get any players.
People would come along. There were some players around.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't take ideas off a man that probably spent most of his time lining up out the front.
Who? Tom Brown.
Hey, sounds of the game.
Burn likes that.
I did like myself. Hey, we're exclusively mic'd up for Triple M, and I just need to get an explanation of what's happening here.
Mm. All clear, one behind, Baz.
Yeah.
It was Frost down there, it was, who had a bit of a nervous moment. He was about to take it over, and
I think it's important for us to point out that's not us sniffing.
I don't know whether Basil Zemplitz was doing the call.
Jeez, he won't have a big hanky.
Liam Pickering, who else got a big snoz? Tunners?
Yeah, Luke's former producer. Well, you could hear him sniffing from Friday night.
Bill Laurie.
not the great Phantom.
Oh, come on, Bill.
It's gone too far.
Sorry, Bill.
Not often Duck.
Bed sheet, Bill.
Not often Duck gets things wrong. Did you say bed sheet, Bill?
No, that's what he uses for
hanky. Oh, right, yeah. Not often you get things wrong, Duck. Yeah. But you're in a bit of a – he was in a bit of a mood last week, wasn't he, Jim?
Was.
And, well, Mason Redmond was having a shot from 60 metres out, and this is how Duck called it. He does – you do call it as you see it.
Telling the umpire he's having a shot so he can waste 30 seconds and he's no chance.
It's a big glass half hippie sort of former Ducks today. But he's
look at that. He's turned around to Duck and said, cop that. I don't care how immortal you think you are.
Oh, so he went from wasting 30 seconds to no chance to he actually bang. Hit the back fence. Yeah.
You know what? He'll never do that kick ever again.
Oh.
I reckon he had a gale behind him.
No predator.
Absolute gale behind him.
I don't think there was any wind. We went down to the boundary. But anyway, last week, speaking of last week, we couldn't go to Sydney because of the COVID. But during the game, we had a couple of issues. This is the first one.
He manages to find the man who gave it to him in Snelling and just a little all-points bulletin out to the Fox director. The ball needs to be in shot just as often as you can.
He's
just
early.
So that people watching the game can see where the football is.
He's
because it's called football.
All points. He's put out an all
it's
point.
Pretty important purple.
Because it's called football. It's got to be on the ball. But
actually got it on the screen.
Well, that was in the first quarter. And you'd think if they made a mistake early, they might just get it right by the last quarter. Especially when the game started to tighten up.
Yes.
Been the scoring end, hasn't it? To left of
Oliverti. He tried to do some disco work. He couldn't have buggered it up anymore.
Don't be greedy.
And we don't know what's happening. Director of Fox has just completely lost the handle.
You've gone again.
Has lost the handle.
The director.
And forgotten we got to watch the bloody game.
The ball. We think he's kicked a goal.
Toby Green has walked in and kicked the sausage. A complete cock up on about eight levels.
Jim.
Purple. A goal was kicked and the ball never appeared on the screen. No one knew who'd kicked it, what had happened.
He's ahead of his time. He's ahead of the
play. If you did listen to that call, I assume that Toby kicked the goal.
Yeah, we guessed.
But
it was only an assumption.
Never assume.
Before you jump on, why don't we get that sort of Jim on Channel 7's coverage?
Yeah. No, because the ball's always on the screen.
I'm talking about the irreverent Jim.
Well done, Jim. Well played. We need to move on to old Mr. Purse Bushby here. I don't need to explain this. This is just classic enough from you again, Bill.
Oh, no.
As North Melbourne, I feel now in the context of the 2021 season. And
what's Fab doing?
What was that?
What are you eating? Damn it, Cremorne. What are you eating?
Curried sausages, Jim.
Oh, my God.
How's the clink?
If you're going to try and eat sausages, don't drop the plate, Bill.
No, I dropped the knife.
The fork. It's just smashed
in mid-segment while Purple was talking on air. Bill's eating curried sausages.
And then with that knife and fork on the floor, he then picked the sausage up with his hand and just ate it.
Oh, it was a mashed potato.
And curried sausages.
Yeah, how good are curried sausages?
Yeah. Oh, I love
it. My nana used to do them, Bill.
These ones weren't as good as mum's. Yeah. Oh, right. Mum's curried sausages.
Put a bit of chilli in with them as well.
Hey, getting back to last week's call, Zachy Sproul. Now, we found one, Jim. We found one. We went from never hearing of this man.
This is Zach Sproul.
Sproul.
Man, you've kept a close eye on JB.
Close eye on. Quite surprised on the team sheet to actually see his name on there as he drops that over the top to Hopper.
And then we started to develop a bit of a relationship with this man. I guess we sensed a bit of, reptilian sort of behaviour from him. And we really started to warm to him.
Tom Green, wheel and go. Long ball inside 50. That's Sproul! Oh, got to the back of him. He got somewhere near it, Duke, and there's excitement every time.
Didn't have a touch in the second half.
And guess who got dropped this week?
Didn't recognise the pill.
Oh, we'll get to that, Bill.
He's stepping over his segment
again. He's done it again. He's just ruined this.
Oh, Bill.
No, but at this stage, we hadn't realised, Jim, that we'd really uncovered enough. Now, this man debuted in 2019, and what we didn't realise was that was his first win, and this is him in a one-on-one interview after the game.
Yeah, I've got a Powerade here. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, you're not allowed to give it. No one allowed to have a go at chest. I'm going to give myself one. Oh, shit. What a win. Good feeling. A little extra.
Is that the Sproul? Has given himself a Gatorade
Josh shadow car.
Yeah, he's had the laugh on him as well. Yeah, I don't know, but this week, Jim, got him dropped. Even though Bill just tried to cut in. And this week, Mr. Sprouler, you are this.
Enough of the week.
But that was just entertainment. That man will bring us a lot of laughs.
Yeah, where he's from. Where? Albury.
Very weird looking units.
He's probably in the squad. He's probably in the squad here.
Oh, no. No, yeah, Zach Sproul's in it.
Actually, he's in the team.
No, he's not. Albury boy.
He had the sides cut way too high for the size of his ears, Sproul. That was a bit of the issue. Yeah, so that attracted us to him. What you heard, a very good segment, by the way, but what you heard during there was the reference to Immortal.
Yes.
And that's because, I don't know, you had gone by this stage last week, Damo, but Duck worked out that in the NRL, they have a thing called an Immortal, which is above a legend, above any other category you can have, and there's only about six of them.
Yep.
And he was of the opinion, Bill, that they should bring that into the AFL.
Of course.
Because he had a member ready to go.
I knew where you were going.
He said, this isn't about me, but I would be probably spoken about.
And Dunstall, who I was talking about.
So what do we have? Legends?
We have legends. It's the same. It's meant to be the same thing.
But they only have seven immortals, don't they?
Yeah.
I think it
is that.
Joey Johns, the most recent. And our man Cam Smith straight in.
He'll be an immortal. Yeah. So will Thurston's. Jonathan Thurston's.
Johnny Raper, going all the way back to the absolute legends, including
Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Daly M.
Anyway, Duck was of the opinion that if we introduced anything like that into our
he does it well.
Imagine him in the box. They'd be fighting over who's a immortal.
Duck does it well, though. Is anything he thinks he should be involved in? I've sort of got to know him a fair bit being on this show. He just sort of. Anything he thinks he should be in, he throws a couple of other players that are probably just a bit below him.
They'll
be in. That's a very good point.
You worked him out.
That's exactly what he does.
Thanks, Bill.
Anyway.
Not even in the squad, Bill.
Don Ross.
41st.
Don Ross got his ass into the squad.
Don Ross.
Stan Lloyd. Ricky Quaid, a very good footballer.
Very good player.
Swan's very good. But Bill's of the opinion he should be at least in the squad.
Jeff Kingston, he actually played Sandful.
Yeah. Well, Bill,
who's King?
A better player than you.
Yeah. No,
obviously. Neil Davies. No. He had you covered.
He's in the NFL.
Might be a positional thing, though. The key positions were covered fairly well.
Forward line, Paul Kelly.
Yes.
Well, you're not taking his spot.
Big Billy Moore.
We're not taking his spot.
Not sure.
Billy Moore, he was a superstar.
How many goals did he kick?
I reckon he kicked a lot.
John Longmire kicked more than you.
I don't know if Horst did.
500 and something.
Yeah, 500.
That's the photo of Duck in there.
And Tomahawk on the... There, that's who I can replace. Tomahawk out.
No, I don't think so. Tomahawk on the bench.
Or Sellers McClure.
Oh, big Sellers. What I will say is this, as we go to the break, we did play... You know, on a Friday night, you go back in time and look at a game between these two sides previously.
Yes,
and
Jim.
Bill.
Yes, what?
I don't know. It was elimination final, some sort of qualifying final anyway.
In St. Kilda,
Plugger kicked nine at one end.
And he kicked
Damo, I saw in a tape roll that went for no more than 45 seconds, Bill touched the ball more than I've seen him in 20 years of replays.
In a tape roll.
In one tape roll.
Well, didn't you kick seven or eight yourself in that game?
JB, particular game, that was on Fox, I reckon about a year and a half ago.
It was on the other night.
Might have been last year during COVID, so we're all at home watching a lot of footy.
Immortal.
And it came on, and guess what? I get a message from Bill.
Yeah.
The phone pops up. Are you watching Fox footy? Is that... I've got the message right here from you.
You'd be way locked back in those messages. I'd have to have a look at those DMs that slide in yours.
Oh, my God.
A lot of memory on that phone.
And what about Spud trailing in?
Oh,
Spud trailed you in about five times.
I took a mark on him and he hit me in the guts and winded me, right? And
His fist would have disappeared into your gut. Well,
and he's going, you felt that, didn't you? And I'm going, I'm trying not to show him I was hurt.
It's tough. JB, I've just found the messages here from Bill.
Oh,
he goes, this is what he writes.
Good game
this one. The loser is out of the finals, right? I said, oh, you've just taken another mark. He wrote, on fire with the fire, little fire emoji.
Oh, no.
Then he writes, Big Plugger was pretty good that day. He goes, Bazza goes onto him in a minute. So he's predicting these are the messages.
And when it's an elimination final, the loser does go out.
That's his. Yeah. Pretty well.
I didn't know, but Bill was letting me know.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Triple M's magnificent segment, the Saturday Rub Quiz. Here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Righto, Fat, we've given you enough time to get this right. Good. People answer, don't care if you say hello, it doesn't matter. You tell us exactly what you're doing and rip into the answer. Fat, stop playing with your nipples and get on with it.
Rubbing his nipples.
Oh, it's cold in here, Jim. Let me tell you, but great to be with you, tailor-made. You win the quiz.
Oh, yes.
Boy, man.
The brand new TP5 and TP5X balls. They are literally just been released on the market. They are superb. Dustin Johnson.
That's right.
Rory McIlroy's. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And then the spider putter and the putting green.
Putting green, if you don't mind.
Putting.
How good does that sound, Michael?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's on a helicopter.
Mickey's all over the place.
Mickey. Oh, he's done. All right, let's go to Brett in Gawler.
Oh,
Gawler's a nice spot.
Just on the way to coach some footy.
Who are you coaching, Bretty?
Coach, I'm assistant coach out of Hamley Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Play against that. Williston?
Williston.
No, don't play against Jarvis.
Oh, Andrew Jarman coaching there.
Spun the wheel at Gawler.
Who's,
it's where the...
Which Jarman?
The river.
Andrew.
Is he?
Williston.
Oh. Yeah. Is it where the river meets the ocean?
That's Gawler.
Close.
Gawler is inland.
Johnny Butcher plays for us.
Right. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Johnny Butcher.
Kicks 1-7 each week.
Righto, here we go, Brady boy. What was the name of the nightclub where Daniel Rioli and Shai Bolton got into a little scuffle?
No idea.
He's from Gawlerville.
Well, that's not my fault. I didn't know.
I know.
Darren will know from Pakenham.
It'll come back to him soon, though, Jim.
Dazzling.
How are you, mate?
Oh, no.
The
rules are very clear.
That's not my fault, by the way. Pete's there in the Airport West. Beautiful spot.
G'day, Billy.
Where are we at?
Reset it.
No hellos.
Jim, come on, Jim.
Reset it.
I feel sorry for them. When they just want to say hello.
Exactly. We're going to Ash and old Hewitt there. Where's Hewitt, yeah. Ash?
It's north of Gawler. Just having a quick look over the New South Wales country.
There we are. Good boy.
Actually, we did have a look at the full forward, Bill Moyer.
And Moore, a legend.
Moore, 195 games, 735 goals.
Yep.
That's about 3.7
average. Pretty good.
That's not bad.
About 300 more than you kicked for the same.
Thank you, Damien, who didn't even know what a football is. Ash, what was the name of the nightclub where Daniel Rioli and Bolton got into a little scuffle there with a member of the public now?
Yo-Yo.
Yes.
I've been there, Jim.
You would have.
Ask how I went.
Why are you going?
How'd you go, Bill?
Oh, a bit up and down.
Just horrifically embarrassing.
Ask how I went.
Well, I needed someone to set it up. You like that, Ash?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Oh, he's with,
how does Ash know? He lives
Ash
in South
like that.
He had time to Google it, I think.
Yeah. In 2009, St Kilda and Geelong were both undefeated heading into the round 14 clash. This is a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Who kicked the winning goal in that game, late in the game? Come on, Ash.
A big man.
Maybe Tommy Hawkins.
No, it wasn't, mate. Bad luck. Man. Good work. Luke there in Bacchus Marsh now.
Just watching a bit of the local footy.
Oh, who's playing Bacchus Marsh and who today?
Nah, Diggers Rest and Lancefield.
Oh, Diggers Rest. Be nice and cold.
Soldiers bold there.
Might freeze the nuts off a tractor. Fair dinkum there. 2009, St Kilda and Geelong were both undefeated. Who kicked the winning goal in that round 14 clash?
Was it Michael Gardner?
It was. Well
he's
done.
I'll tell you what, big mark.
Wasn't it?
Big mark.
Both sides, I reckon, were 12 and zip.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Had the tongue out?
Wasn't it round 14?
I think you said round 14 in your question, Bill, which would make it.
Couldn't be there 12 and zip, could it?
Maybe. We don't know
maybe
for sure.
Maybe two draws, Bill.
So we got a lifeline.
Get around him!
So you've got Sniffles Duck.
And Cheating Duck.
You've got Scoreboard Vince.
Scoreboard Vince.
And you just...
Investigation.
Official. And you just got Damien. Boring bastard. Righto, Luke.
Yep.
You've got to ask him the question.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Who are the last three players to win a Brownlow medal while playing for Collingwood?
Right. I'll go with Purple.
Oh. Yeah, normally gets them right. No.
Purple. Well, last three.
Buckley's one of them, but I'm just trying to...
Right, eh? Last three.
Okay, we'll go with Peter Moore then. Peter Moore, Buckley.
Peter Moore?
No. And he's obvious biggest, one.
How long ago?
Biggest rogue ever.
And Dane Swan.
Yeah. So what? Moore...
I'm going Dane Swan, Nathan Buckley. I know Peter Moore won one at Collingwood. I don't know. I can't think of one in between.
All right. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, I'll back purple in.
Oh, and that's not cheating either. Well done, Damien.
Duck.
Question four. Name the person who was the AFL senior coach of the following clubs in order. Sydney, Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Suns.
What is that question?
What is that question?
Rodney Ead.
No, yes, well done.
How did you understand that, Luke?
Well, I'm just reading the questions as I get.
No, I thought it was a good question.
Thank you, Damien.
I like it, Bill.
Oh, good work, Lukey boy. Number five is another lot. So you got scoreboard or you got sniffles. Name the three players that have won the Rising Star Award while playing for the Sydney Swans. Sydney Swans, three players that have won the Rising Star.
I know there's Heaney, Mills, but I'll go with Bernard.
Bernard. Oh, geez. I don't reckon Heaney won one.
Well,
Mills. Hanbury.
Yep.
And did Adam Goods win one?
No. I don't reckon.
No, I don't think so. I'm
going with that.
Yeah.
What are you going with?
What I just said.
What'd you say?
Yeah, he's right.
You can't remember what you said.
He's right.
Mills, Hanbury, Goods.
All right, Luke.
Yeah, go with Bernard.
Nice, Bernard. Adam Goods, Dan Hanbury.
He threw me with the Heaney bit. Where's Zach trying to throw it?
Are we going to have to take a break?
No. Where's Hanbury? How's he going, by the way?
Not well.
Is that St Kilda, Bill?
No, I know where he is.
How many questions are you into?
Five. We've done five, Jim. That's good. That's good. Well done. Hang on there, Lukey boy.
Two more than last week.
Yeah, good.
All right. More of this rubbish when you come back. For Hard Yakka, this is the Triple M Saturday Rub for McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Yeah, Bill. Yes. You got five questions left to get this thing done.
Taylor May.
So hurry up.
And Lukey's going all right.
Hey, Lukey is. You still there, Lucas?
Still here, mate.
What were you doing again? I forgot.
I'm watching the local footy, Diggers Rest in Lancefield.
Right. Give us an update, please, around the grounds with Luke there at Lancefield.
Diggers touching them up by about 10 goals at the moment, three-quarter time.
Thank you. Good players?
It's two's footy.
Righto. Which Western Bulldogs player has registered the most centre clearances in the AFL so far this year? Most centre clearances.
Oh, it's easy.
This year. Luke.
I think it's either Libber or Jack McRae. I'll go with Libber.
Yes.
Very good.
Well done. He's had 38 centre clearances.
Mate, he's been unbelievable, Libber.
The next one is 27.
Good tattoos, Lib.
No, they're not. They're terrible.
Very rare.
Oh, what's wrong with them?
They are shy.
They're spaced out so you can see what they are.
No, they're silly little butt.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Simpson things. I don't know why you'd do that. Duck. Now, 1994. This is a good question. In 1994, Luke, which player did Fremantle trade to Adelaide in exchange for Chris Groom?
I know this one.
Oh, was it Tony Modra?
No, it wasn't, but not a bad guess. Let's go to Jack there in Kensington.
Just in between umpiring games here, Billy.
You're umpiring?
Yeah, mate. Had one this morning and one to come.
Good boy. Who's playing? Kensington and who?
No, mate. I had the reserve at Paynham, and I'm on my way to Horton, which is out near Moreton Lake. No, near Golden Grove now.
Yeah, that's all right. Well done. That's good. We need umpires. Righto. In 1994, which player did Freo trade to Adelaide in exchange for Chris Groom?
I'm a Crows fan, so I hope this is right. Is it Andrew McLeod?
Andrew McLeod. Can you believe that?
Chris Groom.
Wow. That's a good trade.
Well, that is a pretty good trade, Bill.
You do the quiz, will you? Food's coming.
Keep going.
Here we go. Number eight is a lifeline.
Get around him!
So I reckon you just got...
Shooting duck.
Sniffles.
Just sniffles. Oh, sniffles there. Look at it.
That's all right. I'll back him in.
Which three clubs have West Coast defeated to win their four premierships?
Who have I got left on the lifeline?
Shooting duck. Sniffles. Just old sniffles.
Do I trust him or do I go myself? Oh. No. I'll give him a go.
Well, Geelong's one. Yeah. Sydney, Collingwood.
Is that three? Was it three or four?
No, three. What do you reckon?
I'll back him in.
Oh, Dark.
Well done.
Hey, what? Two more, Jackie boy, and you've got the
first time I've ever been left last.
Righto, here we go.
I don't like it.
The award for the best player in the Q Clash is named after which former Brisbane Lions player?
Good bloke, too.
Oh, thanks, Damien.
The award for what match again?
The Q Clash. Get the timer on him. He's stalling.
Yeah, he's Googling.
I can see his first name's Marcus.
he's right.
Yeah.
How does he not know that?
Because it's not the Marcus medal, is it?
Can't be earned that.
He tried.
He was all right, Jack.
Must get gonged.
Why couldn't he see the whole name?
Yeah. Mm. Nick's there.
It's a concern.
What's he?
I don't know.
On the Hume, Bill.
Yeah, Hume.
Yeah, on the Hume, mate.
Oh, where you going?
Up to Myrtleford.
Oh, it's a long drive, and it'll be freezing at Myrtleford, my friend.
The in-laws.
Oh, that'll be good. Just a quick night. Stay over and then back the next tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't stay too long, old cop.
What about the stupid face Bill gets on when he speaks to the contestants? Yes, this, as if he's having a really formal discussion.
Well, we're friends. This is a connection.
We're best mates.
We are, old Nick.
You don't want to be Nick.
The award for the best player in the Q Clash is named after whom?
Marcus Ashcroft.
Well done, and this is it. Number 10. Here we go.
Got through them, Bill.
Before round 9, so before this round, before last night's game, which club had the highest percentage in the AFL?
That'd be the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah! Yeah! 150%. And well done, Nick. You have won. What's he won, Jim?
Are you a golfer, Nick?
I am now.
No, mate, I'm telling you what, the TP5 or TP5X balls just released, the brand new edition. They are unbelievable. I actually used one last week, Bill. They're unbelievable.
Did you lose
one on the way, too?
You got some.
Yes.
And of course, also the spider putter and the putting green. That is a magnificent prize, Nick. Thanks to TaylorMade.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you.
Go and enjoy that.
Well done, Bill.
Well done. Now, we've got about 5 minutes before a time, so we can rip into some news.
Yep.
Let's start with the Damien Hardwick-Gil McLaughlin tete-a-tete.
It's an interesting one, Jim, because of the public messaging that is attached to this Shea Bolton-Daniel Rioli situation. We'll just take you through the course of the week.
Take your time.
Take my time? Okay. Well, we'll go to the audio then, Bill, and we'll go back to Monday night when Damien Hardwick first had his messaging about the need for players to step up and back each other up when certain incidents happen. Gillon McLaughlin not happy with that messaging, and then Damien Hardwick yesterday doubling down on his initial messaging.
Look, I can understand the fixation on our players, but I suppose from our point of view, you know, a player's partner was put in an inappropriate and situation that she didn't feel comfortable with, and Daniel stood up and, you know, tried to eradicate the situation, was punched in the eye, and, you know, once again, I don't condone violence, but the reality is, you know, put anyone in that situation, they're going to stand up for their partner and their mates, and, you know, Shea was the same.
Respect Damien's view, but it's different, is it? You know, I think our players, and I ask all players, that are, you know, I don't condone violence and that they should be walking away.
Well, we don't condone violence in any way, so don't get me wrong there, but what I will say, there's certain situations where, you know, we expect our players to make a stand, and, you know, when a young lady's being whether intimidated, whether, you know, inappropriately, or she felt insecure, we expect our players to stand in. And, you know, Daniel, as far as we're concerned, did the right thing. Do we want the violence to be part of that? Absolutely not. But the fact of the matter is, I think Gil's on the same page here. We just need players to, you know, make sure that people are treated respectfully.
Interesting backstory to what is unfolding there. The AFL has kept open its own investigations into it. I fully expect for there to be nothing serious by way of sanctions to either the players, and I don't think there's nothing has emerged from what I can gather that would suggest that to be the case. But again, you can just see the awkwardness sometimes around what footy clubs and the industry itself wants to portray publicly and verbally to the public about certain incidents, and you can see why Damien Hardwick's saying what he said. You can see why Gillon McLaughlin is saying what he said. But
do we know what happened? We got to the bottom of
it. Look, it hasn't deviated too much, Bill, from something being said to Daniel Rioli's girlfriend. Right. And then what happened there? I mean, I'm still intrigued as to how Shea Bolton has broken his
wrist. They haven't said, have they?
No, they haven't. And again, it's probably irrelevant as to how it's come out because, you know, it obviously came out in the fracas per se. He's going to miss multiple weeks of footy that Daniel Rioli will play. Just another messaging component, Jim, to the week. We'll go back to David Teague during the week talking about his captain, Paddy Cripps. Michael Gleeson, who's a very, very good journalist in town. When I see his name, I take whatever's underneath that byline as being right. And there's no reason to suggest this story certainly wasn't in that category. David Teague, though, being the coach of the club in question, Duck, had a different take publicly about what was being said about the report, that being a fractured back to Cripps earlier in the season and the requirement of injections to play the game.
He had a sore back at the start of the year, but not now. It's everything's healed now. He's fine.
It was never fractured. There was never any...
Uh,
he had a sore back. I'm not sure what the actual findings were, but he did. I think it was reported. He had a sore back early in the year, but that was, I think he's been completing full training since round two or three, I think it was. So, yeah, it's not an issue now. So you can talk about it if you want, but it's in the past.
Doug, I've always been intrigued, and I know I'm coming from the outside the club perspective on this, but I've always been intrigued as to why clubs, and even the individual player himself, won't come clean when it's obvious that there's something gone wrong. I get why in the broader picture, but I don't understand why.
I don't think the player will ever use it as an excuse. It's no. A reason. And I've always been big on this. The club has to look after their players. And if they are, whether it's they have to have injections or how accurate that is, but he's clearly playing it down. So he's clearly now putting the pressure back on Cripp, saying there's nothing wrong with him, when clearly there has been something wrong. They can go a long way to protect, especially this guy who has carried this footy club for 5 years on those shoulders and with that back. And all of a sudden now, you know, okay, not to his level, still playing some pretty good footy.
I didn't like that, Damo.
I didn't like it.
Tell me why you didn't. Should have just
left it.
I didn't like that from the coach, because as a coach's role, you've got to stick up for your players. And the amount that player's done in Cripps for that footy club, and he's just basically, he's just pushed him parted ways with him and say, well, it's up to him to get his form right. And I think it's a little whack on Paddy Cripps as saying, well, there's nothing wrong with him now. You can stop asking about his back. It's about his form. And I just think that's, if that's the way he thinks that Paddy Cripps is going to get back into form, that's okay. But I didn't like the look of it.
Totally what agree. If Paddy Cripps, though, and again, I'm asking you guys as the former players, behind the scenes, take us. If Paddy Cripps has said quite strongly, I don't want anyone talking about whatever it is I'm dealing with.
Yeah, well, you're going to talk about it naturally because he's not in the best of form. Okay. So, and there's no way you can say, I don't want people to talk about it, because we talk about it all the time. So you can't put a stop to that. I just think he may need to be honest and come out. And if Paddy Cripps comes out and says it, that's fine, because it's his body and he can say his body's fine. But I didn't like it coming from the coach.
And the other thing with that as well, the fact that he sat on the bench for after half time, he sat on there for about 7 or 8 minutes before coming on after giving the players a speech. Didn't like that either. He's your captain.
Exactly.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.